Hi, I'm Cameron Mills, and welcome into Behind Kentucky Basketball, brought to you by Thornton's. With Derek Anderson, who literally just asked me a moment ago, how high do you think I could jump? I don't know.
I think you could jump really high.
No, you wouldn't. How high do you think I could jump? It was you wanting me to tell you how high I thought you could jump. Or were you the best one on the team? Which I would say yes. So, absolutely. Yeah, because I remember more posterizing coming from you than in just about anybody else other than Walt. You went an indirect route to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Went from Louisville Doss, Ohio State, and then to the Cats. So talk me through that process.
Well, I had a son. I was a single dad at 15, 16, 17. So I had to, like, figure out what I was going to do with my life, and I couldn't leave my son. So fortunately, his mom was free, and she got custody of him when I turned 18. So my choices were pretty much stay in Louisville or somewhere close. Rick Pitino had already given all the scholarships out to Tony Delk, Roger Grode, so I couldn't walk on. So I was going to say stay close, but I think the last-minute decision for me was to make a decision based upon where I could play immediately. And Louisville didn't know what their situation was, so I chose to go to Ohio State. Tore my left ACL up my sophomore year, and I had to sit out. And unfortunately, Ohio State was going on probation. So I said, well, I can't stay here. I needed a year to rehab. So I said, you know what, what's the best place for me? Get reunited with my son. So I chose Kentucky, and greatest decision ever.
I was going to say, I think we were all pretty happy about that decision as well. Getting to Kentucky, because we were talking about it in there before, and I remember you telling the story not long after you got here, because you had to sit out that first year, of course. Biggest surprise to you coming and being now part of the Kentucky Wildcats, which you had watched being in high school, yeah, growing up in Kentucky and Louisville, but now you're part of the Kentucky Wildcats. The thing that kind of shook you, surprised you, like, oh, this is what I thought it was going to be like. This is what it's like.
Well, I had played against Kentucky in the Maui. I was like, man, they play up and down really fast, but the game wasn't like a practice. I got here and I saw the guys practice. I'm like, this is how you practice every day. This is like a pickup game and guys are going hard. So when practice started, it was like relentless.
Yeah.
First one-on-one turn and this and that, and I wasn't used to that. So I used my athleticism, but I was like, man, I got to get in shape. And I thought I was in shape playing all the time, but it was just a relentless way the guys played a pickup game. They practiced that way. And I had to actually adapt to that tenacity and that intensity every single day. Like a pickup game was like a practice. Like guys were just going so hard. I'm like, why y'all play so hard? And it was like, ain't we supposed to have fun? But it was like they've been trained to play that way. So that was the biggest adjustment for me, is learning to play every single day that way.
Let's go back to the 96 team. We started that year ranked number one. Mm-hmm. All the expectations, which are always on the team anyway, to go to at least the Final Four, if not win a national championship. That year, even more so, because of the talent that we had. I think nine of you all had NBA careers of merit. What do you remember at the beginning of that season as far as the pressure? Like, do you remember feeling any pressure as far as on you, on us as a team, or was it like, no, we just game by game?
Right. Well, I didn't feel any pressure until we lost.
And then which was pretty immediate, though. Second game.
Yeah, we beat Maryland, then we lost to UMass, but it was like, they were like, oh, they're not that good. I'm like, this is the second game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just came from outside. We lost like 12 games. I'm just like, it's a big deal. It's one game. But then they was like, no, you're not supposed to lose. And we knew we were good. But then when we saw that we lost and we saw the other team celebrate, I wasn't used to seeing people celebrate a win. They were super high. I'm like, oh, so we are this good. That's what they think of us.
Yeah.
So we took it upon ourselves as individuals to say we need to sacrifice. So, like, I just came from averaging 17, 15, 16 points.
Right.
So I knew I could score, but I had to say, well, I got to change my role to help this team, and I think we can. And once we all accepted that, man, it was a different game. But our mindset changed after that loss because we knew we were good, but that humbled us really early. And that helped us.
So let's talk about that real quick, because we had another loss late in that year against Mississippi State, an eventual Final Four team, in the championship of the SEC tournament game. And I remember, I don't know if you remember, Coach P coming in the locker room, the only time I ever remember this, Coach P coming in the locker room after a loss with a smile on his face.
Yes.
Because in his words, we needed to lose this.
Yes.
You just mentioned losing to UMass early in the year humbled us.
Yes.
Same thing happened against Mississippi State in the SEC championship game. What happens when you lose a game like that?
Well, I didn't think we should have lost that game. We had just beat them 2 weeks before by 20 points at their place. So I didn't feel like we should have lost. But I think it was a wake-up call for some of our guys to, like, buckle back down on their attitudes. I think that was our biggest problem, is we were so – wasn't arrogant, but we were so, like, kind of relaxed that we knew we were good that we just kind of, like, played around too much. And it was like, okay, we're throwing passes we normally wouldn't throw.
Yeah.
And I think it humbled us. And when he came in and said, you know what, that was a good loss for us. And I was thinking, like, I'm expecting a practice at 12:01.
Exactly.
But no, that was the first time I ever seen him do it. The only time I ever seen him actually say that was a good loss, because he knew how we were playing. I think he made a statement by pulling Antoine a lot. Yeah. He pulled Tony a lot. Like, he was like, I'm not going to let
he
you guys.
He pulled Antoine for the game.
Yeah, I know the second half.
The entire half.
Yeah, so it was a good situation. But I hate losing, and I think we should have won all our games. That's just how I personally.
I get it. There can be value in losing, because all of a sudden the things the coaches have been saying, all of a sudden, yeah, they're right. Because when we had won, we'd lost that second one and won like 30 in a row. And we started 27. So we'd started to kind of take it for granted, I think, a little bit. Let's go to the national championship game against Syracuse. We in, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago in Miami, the first time the entire team, including our coaches, we watched that game, which was rare, because usually we're watching the game on the way home from the game. So this is the first time we ever watched that game. And we all sat there and noticed something about how we played in the national championship game in 96. What was that?
We didn't play well.
We were terrible.
We shot like 29% from the field. Most teams shoot 29% of the field, we'll lose. So that lets you know we were just tight. We were worried. Like, we were trying to rush. We knew we felt like we could beat this team in a different way, but our energy never changed.
Yeah.
We shot terrible, but our energy never changed. You saw us missing layups, missing wide open shots. That stuff we didn't. We threw the ball one time between two guys, and I was like, that
nobody
wasn't
was
us.
There. Yeah.
Nobody was there.
The
and it was like odd stuff, but to know that we fought through that, it was like it came from practice.
Yeah.
Like when you
yeah.
go through a practice and coach say, hey, we're down five
yeah.
and puts a minute on the clock and we're pressing, I'm like, we've practiced this.
Yeah.
So that prepared us to like, don't worry about that play, move to the next one. So it didn't bother us at all, man. But we recognized, we were like, we shot that bad, coach? He was like, yeah, I watched it.
He did. We hadn't, though, and we were stunned. Yeah. How did we win this game? That's how bad it was, us playing against Syracuse. It's a hard question just to dump on you like this, but considering all we've been doing in there for the last hour is telling stories. So your favorite story about your time here at Kentucky, it can be the 97 team that we're celebrating this weekend, the 96 team, but your favorite time, your favorite story about being a Wildcat?
It's too many, man.
I said it wasn't going to be easy.
Yeah, the most painful one was not playing in a championship game. Do you remember me practicing?
Yeah. But I'm glad. But I appreciate you not playing, because that meant I got to. I appreciate you.
You did a good
yeah,
job.
That ACL tear of yours. Yeah, you sitting out for that 4 months. That means I got off the bench. So you're just a quality teammate, is what you are. But you still had to come and shoot those foul shots. Was that the Final Four game or was that the championship game? Was that Final Four coach put you in? So, all right, so not playing was the hardest. What's your favorite, though?
The funnest moment was after we won a championship and we all was talking trash and we all wouldn't play in the Memorial, saying, man, the bench is the reason we won. When all the starters is won.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't play it against each other. That was my most memorable moment outside of winning a championship, because we still was like competitors to our heart. Like, the guys would say, we won because of us. No. Y'all didn't do good. The bench came in and helped. Like we were going at it. And to us to go play a pickup game after winning the championship.
After the season's over, said, okay, well, we're not done.
No, we're not done. That was a great moment. I tell people that story because we were brotherhood.
Yeah.
Like, people don't believe we're still in a group chat to this day, 25 years later.
Yeah.
We love each other, man. It's different when you build something like that. And for us to compete that way all the time, it took us to a different level of love.
It's amazing how competitive we were, where in practice, it was brutal. I mean, it was. We were talking about Scott and Jamal and them getting a dust up. And I mean, you know, fist thrown and me having to get my jersey replaced because you, of all people, grabbing my jersey, which still doesn't make sense considering how slow I was and how fast you are. But either way, an incredible career. Derek Anderson, 1996 national champion, and this close to being 1997 national champion. And if he had played, let's be honest, if he had played, yeah, we probably would have won.
Welcome, Arizona.
Register for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards by simply downloading the app and start earning rewards today. If you stop by any Lexington Thornton locations, you can earn 5 cents off a gallon with that Refreshing Rewards card.
We're here with Shemu Evans, another transfer in.
Yes,
we just got done talking to Derek Anderson, who transferred from Ohio State into Kentucky. You transferred from Manhattan to Kentucky.
Right.
How did you go about finding your way from being from New York, playing at Manhattan, and having a great 96 tournament? Because Manhattan made it, and you were the star of that Manhattan team.
Which was an amazing story about that. And I don't know if you guys remember this. We played in Memphis
with us
at the Pyramid.
That's where we were.
And my mom gave me a picture of us having our practice time, and we're leaving to go out the tunnel, and Kentucky's coming in. Can't make this up. This is before I even met you guys or even came to the camps.
So how did it happen?
Well, basically – Fran Fraschilla decides he wants to leave because we have a great
you went out
freshman year, right? We beat Oklahoma, and then we lost to Arizona State, which you guys beat by 30, right? And after that, Lou Dalmeida, which brought Jamal Mashburn to Kentucky, said, hey, we're going to call around and ask for advice on where you should probably go.
Okay.
And get a call back, and it said, hey, I think you might have a possibility to go to Kentucky. So,
and your immediate thought?
I'm thinking, like, that's funny. you know, where do you think he thinks we should go? And then it just turned out to be a dream come true. And I don't know if that's ever happened, Cam.
What do you mean?
Coming from a mid-major and going to the national contender?
I feel like it's happened, but has it happened to a team? Maybe it's happening more often these days because there's so many transfers, right? But in those days where someone mid-major up and then
– So I'll claim the first.
Okay, all right, you can do that. Nobody's checking this. Well, actually, they probably are checking this.
So
you get on campus, right? And one of my favorite memories of you, and this is my favorite Moose story, is you come to campus having never lifted a weight in your life and still cut like an Adonis. You had muscles bulging out of everywhere.
I weighed about 185, but wiry.
I don't know.
But I was strong.
Strong. No, you were brutally strong. We start our first individual instruction the day of Madness, right? That night we got Midnight Madness, and you and I are in the same group, and we're 45-minute individual instruction. We're only 15 minutes in, and you're on the ground sucking air. And I'm looking at look at this dude's body. And he's failing. He's on the ground. I got this guy beat.
Well, for what it's worth, and this is funny because it's always hot in there.
So that's true. Memorial is not, even to this day, is not climate controlled.
And wait, it wasn't Memorial. It was the other gym.
Alumni.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, these are the Kentucky Wildcats, national champions. So here I am, the guy who comes from Manhattan College. I have to come out and let them know why I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't like.
You got something to prove early.
This wasn't a favor. Right? So I have something to prove early. So I said, I'm going to come out hard in every second. So next thing I know, I'm in the training room because I literally passed out. So Rick comes in and he gives me a nice talk, which was great. He said, what I want you to do, you're sitting out. I want you to learn the system, learn from the guys, take your time.
Because this was the year you sat out.
And then he passed me the arm. He says, by the way, that was just a warm up.
That's right.
Just like that. I would never forget that.
Yeah. Well, how different was that from what you all did at Manhattan to what we went through with Coach Pitino and even Tubby when he got here? Because you played for 2 years for Tubby, and I think did you play under Pitino for a year?
No,
just the year you transferred that year. So you didn't get to play. You just had to practice. You had to go through those brutal practices.
And you guys, I would go to the home games.
Yeah.
And I wasn't allowed to travel the road NCAA stuff. But that was amazing. Like, I thought I had the best coach in the country with Fran Fraschilla.
Sure.
He was meticulous with his scouting reports and everything. I thought he was the best. Then when I came to Kentucky.
And you see our scouting reports.
This is unreal.
Yeah.
And Rick Pitino is like no other when it comes to, you know, his approach and how he approaches the preparation. So, man, what an experience. I mean, you go from a school that's 4,500.
Yeah.
Class size 22 per class. Then you go to University of Kentucky. When you guys have your first game and I'm there and they're coming out and I'm sweating and I'm nervous and I'm not even suited up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's just, it's a whole nother level. It's nothing like it.
So in 1998, we talk about the Duke game in particular, right? Wayne, because people, they'll say Scott's shot.
Right.
They'll say my shot.
Right.
And I'll accept it. I will. And I'll tell Scott all the time my shot was more important. Right. And he'll tell me his is more important.
Right.
And we'll fight until the day we die over that.
Right.
But if we don't have, in particular, Wayne Turner and you, because you hit two threes in that 17-point comeback, and that, and what I didn't even realize watching that, going back and watching that comeback, the comeback actually only lasted about 3 minutes. Within 3 minutes, we were within 5 points.
Right.
We were right back in the game.
Do all year.
Yeah.
Right. We wanted to give the fans a headache.
I don't think we wanted to.
But you know.
But this is what we wound up doing.
We wound up doing.
So
the whole season.
I know, again, I'll go back to the Manhattan thing because now you're at Kentucky and now you are in a Elite Eight game with a chance to go to a Final Four and we're down 17.
Right.
What were you thinking in that moment?
At that moment,
down 17, 9.5. What's going through your head?
I'm like, look, I know if we just keep clawing and we're going to get back into this game. So, you know, like always, I would come on off the bench and get out in the game. So it's like immediate. I got to just get in there and do something, whether it's defensive end or whatever. So I had some opportunities and some great looks. And once that first one goes in, you know, I don't care if you're a great shooter, if you're a poor shooter, you're feeling good. And you're like, I can make everything at this point. Right. And in practice, we do this repetition.
So many times,
So to be able to come in and give the team a spark, that was huge for me.
Yeah.
Whether it be for 2 minutes, 1 minute, whatever it took, so that it wakes us up, you know.
It was amazing. And of course, that was Tubby's team. You had a year as sitting out under Pitino, but how both these coaches were able to get us to that point of where you're coming in, like you said, you got something to prove. Well, we had McDonald's All-Americans that were originally recruited, and Tony Delk, Derek Anderson, Ron Mercer. I mean, we had Antoine Walker. We had these guys coming into the Kentucky program, and yet both of these coaches were able to get us, especially Tubby at the end of that 98 season. It was all about us. There was no more I. I don't know how much I there was to begin with, because I think we all knew better. But there was so much us there. What do you think Tubby did in particular that year to say, you know, or that in that moment? And we can go back to the loss at Ole Miss or at Rupp against Ole Miss, where we had our last loss. But what do you remember feeling like? This is when the season turned around for us. This is when all of a sudden team started mattering more than
individual. Well, the thing is, I think was important, and you can contest this, that we had to buy into the system.
Right.
You know, I remember the meeting we had, and we, you know, with Shep and you guys saying, like, look. This, you know, this is what we're doing. You know, we have to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, we had other ideas of things that could be done, but once we bought into,
because we had a coach the year before telling us some slightly different things.
So once we bought into what Tubby was selling, then after that, you know, this is the end result.
Yeah.
Holding the trophy. You know, you're praying. I remember the shirts thrown at your head. Yeah. I'm running up to my mom. I mean, it's the best thing in the world.
There's a great moment in that game, the national championship, when you hit two foul shots in that Utah game, and the cameras were riding on your mom, who was raising her hands, too.
You know, one thing that's always important for me coming from Manhattan is that they said I would never play. But what I saw was that I'm going to a team with great players, so I'm just like Voltron. I'm just a piece of the whole picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm the arm or I'm the foot. So I felt there's no way that I'm not going to succeed there, as I'm playing with the best, learning with the best. I'm just bringing a small piece to the puzzle.
So you didn't have to be the star, but you
could
have, because what made that, another thing that made the 98 team special is, I think we had eight different guys leading scorer that year.
Yeah, every given night.
You didn't know who you were going to stop. Shep could go off. You could go off.
I was just talking about the Florida game. We went to Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And you just –
That was here in a
loss.
Was
it here?
That was here in a loss.
Okay, I remember
when we had 31. Off. Yeah.
But you just never knew.
And how do you scout for something like that?
Right.
All right, hardest question I'm going to ask you, okay? But we've been talking about it all night.
Right.
Your favorite memory. Bear it down to one thing. Your faith can be a funny, it can be a meaningful, but the thing that pops in your mind when you think about your career at Kentucky.
My favorite memory is when we won the national championship and we drove the bus into Rupp Arena. That was like the best thing ever for me.
In front of
we were like rock stars.
In front of
like
24,000 fans.
Journey just came in, you know.
To do nothing. We weren't going to play a game. We were going to literally deboard a bus.
Bringing the bus inside and coming off holding the trophy. That was like the biggest thing for me.
Awesome. Hashimu Evans, 1998 national champion.